G'day. Welcome back to The Elaborators. My name's Justin. I'm your host for today, coming to you from the magnificent city of Wyndham, where everybody has been praying. Well, some people have been, well, we're encouraging more people to pray because, I'll give you this. We have been doing 21 days of prayer. And as I speak to you, we haven't quite completed our 21 days of prayer, but possibly by the time you've listened to this, we've done 21 days of prayer as a faith community, which has been exciting. But it's also been challenging because lots of people have lots of questions about prayer. Does it work? Should we still do it? Should we recite what's written? Should we just pray from whatever's in our head? And there's a whole lot of questions about it. And so we've been trying to address a few of those things. And to address some of those things, I thought I may as well get this bloke in. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Stan Ritchie.
Hey, hey, hey.
Sorry, was the
The answer is yes.
Was the applause not long enough for you?
No, no. I always interrupt the applause.
Applause for Stan. Yeah. There we go. Is that more encouraging?
No.
Either way, it's a fake audience.
It's either humbling or humiliating. I'm not sure which one.
How do you respond to applause? Has that been something that you've dealt with over the years?
Yeah, usually.
I mean, just wherever you walk, there's people just throwing rose petals at you. And I'm sure it's...
Yeah, you're right.
I'm sure it's a lot to deal with, man. I understand.
Yeah, you were the rock star.
No.
Okay.
First of all, let's just give that some context. I have played in a rock band, but it was and is a band contained within the Christian music scene, which I don't know that you can see the word star in any of those things.
Jesus Christ Superstar?
Have you heard of that? Right? There you go. Yeah. Well, now we have some context. Well, see, this is the thing, right? Because a lot of what we do, of course, we don't do it for applause. We actually do it to teach and reach people and help encourage people. And so I know, you know, you're a preacher. You prepare a sermon most Sundays. You prepare things like Bible studies. You do some online stuff, little videos that we create all the time. And half the time you're thinking, is any of this effective? Do you find?
Yeah. All the time.
Yeah.
And sometimes I actually wonder, and I may experiment with this one day, is what would happen if I preached the same sermon 4 weeks in a row?
Wow.
How many people would notice?
I like this experiment. Can we just note the date and time we said that? We're going to do 4 weeks in a row. Well, I mean, there's plenty of, if you do four services in a row, but 4 weeks in a row,
that could
be cool.
Well, this week I'm preaching on the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah.
And I was looking through the annals of history and I preached on the Lord's Prayer 2 years ago.
2 years ago?
Yep.
Okay. So you're going to find, so is the question then, are you going to preach it better this time?
Well, the question is, will people remember? I actually already answered that question because in a prayer meeting just a couple of nights ago, one of the prayers prayed something about it and said, as Pastor Stan says,
that was
my message.
Yeah. But then, of course, you have to go back to your sermon and say, did I say what they just quoted me as
saying?
Well,
I did, because that was the whole point of the sermon.
Oh.
And this person actually remembered it from 2 years ago. And it's like,
Oh, there you go. Fake applause for that one, too.
There we go.
Hang on. Fake applause. There we go. So the thing is this. Here's the cool thing. The Lord's Prayer is, of course, ubiquitous. People know it from movies and TV and all sorts of places. Some people actually know it from church and their own prayer life. But it's probably one of those things that's just known around the world as a recitative prayer, reciting prayer. And it has a tremendous history. In fact, there's a really cool stat. I don't know if you know this, but one of the highest selling records in Australian history early on was a record by a lady named Sister Janet Mead, who was a Catholic nun in some schools in Adelaide. She was a music teacher. And she actually decided that a way to get the kids to remember the song was to put it to music, which, you know, that's a fair enough thing to do. So she put the Lord's Prayer to music. It went on to be the highest selling Australian record of the time in the US. It sold 1 million albums in the US. It sold over 3 million records around the world. I've got some other stats here as well. It climbed charts in Canada, Japan, Brazil, Germany, and the United States. And she donated all of the royalties to charity. But it was the Lord's Prayer, and it was on public radio. And I thought, do you want to have a bit of a jive? Here we go. Check this out.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
You with it so far?
I'm with it. I'm trying to memorize it so I can sing it on Sunday.
Yeah. I think that sort of 70s groove. A 70s groove would be really nice. A little bit more tambourine from you on a Sunday would be a good thing.
So it's a little bit high for me, though.
A little bit high?
Yeah.
All right. So. Well, okay. See if you can sing along with this bit. This bit. Here we go. Stand on the solo. Here we go. Isn't that amazing?
I'm afraid we might get sued. I'm afraid we might get sued here.
Really?
So, yeah,
no,
yeah,
I think we'll be fine. I think we'll be fine. It's a song from 1973. It's been used a bit. But yeah, yeah. I just love that idea that that throughout history, these things have been spoken, sung, memorized. You know, it's one of those things that a lot of Christian kids grow up learning and you have to know it. You know, you get a point in Sunday school if you memorize it, all those sort of things. And it is something that, you know, it's easy enough to memorize words, but figuring out how they can be actually life-changing. So for everyone listening, I guess the conversation today is really about the impact and the effectiveness of prayer. So first of all, Stan, the impact for you of having a prayer life, a daily prayer life, what's the impact for you? Is it a feeling? Is it a you must do it each day or you feel like you're starving? How does it feel to pray for you?
Oh, wow. 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 I thought we were going to talk about the Lord's Prayer and I was going to talk about how it's, you know, people memorize it and everything. It's so common that it's almost white noise, I think, you know, and it's like, does anybody really know what it's all about? But for me, I think, the impact of prayer or the priority, the necessity of it, how it impacts me, it's really challenging because I'm an activist. I get things done. And often people around me will say, have you prayed? You know, and of course I'll lie and say, sure I've prayed, right?
Welcome to the Elaborators where pastors are honest with you.
Right. So no, but I love no, that. I do pray, but sometimes, you know, is it just the obligatory thing? You know, it's like, okay, I'm a pastor, so I know that I got to pray. But, you know, where's the sincerity of it and where's the alignment with God's will and everything in heart? Or is it just, I got all these great, wonderful plans and strategies and I got a lot to do today. God, help me. You know, and actually, I don't think those prayers are completely out of line.
Sure.
If you're living a life that is in submission to his will and everything already. But I think it can be more of a tag on than a priority and a true intimate conversation with God, which is really what it's all about. And even as the Lord's Prayer starts out, just the first two words, our Father.
Intimate, isn't it?
Yeah. It's the relational thing with calling him Father. That's massive in Jewish culture. They wouldn't have rarely crossed that line. Jesus said, call him Father. But he also says our.
Yes.
Tells us we're not alone.
Collective,
you know, we're in community with prayer. Anyway, I'm starting to preach in sermon already.
That's all right. Preachers are going to preach. Preachers are going to preach. That's what happens. but the way it feels to speak to God is probably where I like to start with people because I was talking to a young lady the other day who went to youth group for the very first time. She'd never been to a Christian church, and my son had invited her and a couple of mates to youth group. And I love hearing the response of people that have no context for, say, a worship service, the music, the speaking, all those kinds of things. And the way she described the feeling that she had was it felt warm. And I think that's a feeling that we all associate with comfort. And I think the God of all comfort that we pray to starts with our Father, and that's where that sense of intimacy comes in. One of the things I always look at is Psalm 139, which you know very, very well, because it's got that the end of Psalm 139 is "Search me, O God, and know my heart, if there be any unclean, you know, get rid of the uncleanness in me." But it starts out with, "O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know where I sit and where I stand. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways." And when you said before, you know, I lie and I say, you know, I love that we're talking to our Father, our intimate God that knows us intimately, one-on-one, in community. But he also already knows you, and he knows me, and he knows when we're...
what you're talking about there, it's so amazing. Even in the Lord's Prayer, it has all this intimate language like our Father. And then the second half of the Lord's Prayer is talking about our needs, our daily bread and forgiveness and our guidance. But the first half of it is all about God and His name being hallowed and His kingdom being coming and His will being done. And it's very majestic, but then when you get to the practical side of it in the second half, it's very ordinary and daily, mundane. So it goes from majestic to mundane.
Just love that.
And God cares about all of that, you know? And I do think one of the traps in our modern society could be that we go to one extreme or the other with that.
Right.
That God is this thing that, and it's always just highly revered, and we use weird language even in our praying because we think that's going to elevate Him. Or we treat Him too casually, like our mate, like, hey, how's the footy, mate? You know, and bless us,
Just quickly, can I pick you up on a point of theology? Are you allowed to pray that your team wins?
No.
Good. Okay.
I actually shared that with somebody. I was at an event. It was actually a funeral. We were talking about the footy after.
Does God care about Essendon winning?
And I said, that's one thing I don't do. I don't pray for the team to win because there's other people praying for the other team to win. And I don't want to put God in a box and in a bind. He's got to choose.
Yeah.
You know, that's not fair.
Yeah. Yeah.
And plus, Essendon has made some really poor decisions theologically. So I think he probably wouldn't answer that prayer anyway.
Gosh.
Edit that out, Simon.
We're getting political and sporting. But again, it's that casual nature of prayer, the throwaway prayer. I think the reverence for God, and sometimes the fancy words and the big oratory sound, we forget the history of that comes from a time when the priest would stand in front of people without a microphone. And orate, because to articulate and to speak slowly and to speak loudly needed to happen so that the most people could hear it. And then it comes forward in time and we now have PAs and microphones and we don't need to sound like that to make. And but so it's weird that a point of just practicality became a point of piety. So it moves from this really practical thing of just we've got to articulate and move slowly and speak loudly and with a deep voice so it resonates and it moves through the, and then it sounds that's how you've got to pray. It's pious. Whereas you're saying, you know, God is an intimate friend and walking and talking with Him is actually the daily discipline, and in that that can actually sound a little too vanilla for people. It sounds a little bit too plain, yeah?
It's too casual. And it's like, oh, man, He's the creator of the universe and I'm being treating Him like my friend.
But you said it starts out as majestic, right?
Yeah.
And then it gets a bit mundane. But could you recite the Lord's Prayer?
I think so.
Yeah.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forget our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power and the kingdom.
Oh, see, what's the kingdom first, man?
Right. Well,
that's not even in there.
Actually, yeah. Exactly.
We're about to pick each other up on which version of the Bible. But it depends which school you went to. It depends which storybook you read. It depends which minister taught it to you. There are slight variations, but the essence of it is the focus is on God, and it comes from that majestic back to who you are, and it focuses on I can't change me, but you can.
Yep. And this will come out Sunday, so if you're I don't know if we're hearing this before or after.
Well, anyway, I don't know. Whenever this is a podcast. Whenever you hear this, there's a Sunday either side of it. You can play
it. What we're going to learn is that the first three are about God's majesty and everything. And then he talks about the practical mundane stuff that we need, our bread, our forgiveness, and our leading. But I would suggest, and I will suggest, that those three that are about us are about fulfilling the three about Him.
I would completely concur.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, so that's just really cool.
We've written the sermon. So I think the intercession part of it is part that always gets me, the idea of praying for the world around us. The thy kingdom come on earth is not fix my backyard, but let's help out the world around us.
Not just in Wyndham, yeah.
Yeah, not just in Wyndham, not just in your
street,
in your house or your street. And so the gravitas of this, the zoom out part of it can be quite overwhelming. So how would you speak to us about the difference between a personal prayer and a collective prayer? Are there different places to pray these kinds of prayers?
For sure. In fact, the verses leading up to the Lord's Prayer, it's talking about don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. No, I'm sorry.
Oh, you're good to
it goes to doing it in public to be
seen.
And that goes back to motive. And we, again, one of the things we'll talk about Sunday is don't pray in public if you're not praying in private.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, the private needs to come first. And I think even what the content of the private are, like when you're praying in public, you're probably not going to be doing intimate personal confession.
But
confession needs to be a part of our
prayer. Can we just put in there, please do not do that. if you want to make people feel awkward, start confessing your sins in front of 100 people.
Now, having said that, there's times when in my prayers publicly that I will confess as a community.
Right.
You know, our shortcomings and our failures and things like that.
Yep.
But they're very general. It's not, you know, the intimate. So, but yeah, I think the public praying and the private praying, there is a difference, but be careful with the public praying that you're not jazzing that up to be heard and to impress. Because if I'm doing that to impress producer Simon, well, it's not going to happen anyway because he's not easily impressed. But
he's a very grumpy guy. He's even off camera today, so I think his mic is still alive. Are you over there, producer Simon?
I'm alive.
He's alive. He's over there, but his camera's not working.
Yep.
So to all those listening to the audio podcast, here's Simon's voice.
Hi, everyone.
And to all those watching, that's a ghost.
Yeah. Yep. So I'm here.
So anyway, So you don't do public prayer to impress people. You do it.
Confession. You're a public preacher. Have you found yourselves at times? Have you found yourself at times on a platform and feeling like you needed to do better and punching it up a little for the crowd?
Interesting.
I'll go the other direction. So I've been certainly very nervous in front of different crowds, especially when you're not quite, they don't know you, you don't know them, and you think, how am I going to do this? And it's funny, feeling of prayer.
Yeah, I do know there's times, if I've prayed publicly that I might have, in the middle of the prayer or even after the prayer, thought, that wasn't a very good prayer, Or other times that, that said what needed to be said in that and I nailed it, So I guess probably there is a awareness that you're public and that other people are listening to the prayer.
One of the little notes I've got in my Bible, because I'm like you, I write all through my Bible and I've obviously preached this passage a few times because it looks like there's a few repent marks. But one of the things I wrote here is just it's about seeking God. And then I've written, you'd like this, because it's seek God, keep it simple and sincere.
There we go.
Yeah. So do you, from a Lord's Prayer, can you just give us the structure and how it speaks to you? Because I know that's important to sort of think through, because this can actually help people structure their own prayers.
Yeah. And that's the whole purpose of it. It's a pattern. It's not a prescription for you say these words. In fact, he says, pray like this. Pray this. I think the value in it is that it starts by acknowledging who God is.
Yeah.
As our Father in heaven, and his name is holy, and his kingdom come, his will be done. And to me, that's a pivotal point for me, is his will be done. Because everything else I'm about to ask after that has to do with me, has to do with people I'm praying for, and I want to see their healing. I want to see them get jobs. I want to see their kids come good, whatever it might be. But then I got to remember I'm filtering that through your will be done.
Yeah.
And that's hard.
Well, that's the mystery.
That's hard. Because you start there, but then you actually finish there too. It's like, well, Lord, I just told you everything I want, but I want it to align with your will.
Mm.
And, sometimes that's saying that part with sincerity. It can be challenging, because if God's will is that for that person to die, that's not what, you don't want to pray into that, but you want to be able to accept his will.
Yeah. Just this week, we've had a friend pass away just on Monday morning. So we're speaking to her 3 days later, and it was cancer, and it was coming, and he was a Christian guy, and incredibly impacting in the creative community, and just father of five, and, you know, just all of those things, my age. And, you know, he'd beaten cancer a couple of times. It had come back really aggressively. And, you know, the tone of the prayer changes as you go through that process, because that's the complexity of saying your will be done.
Yeah.
Because this story can work out for good, because he promises that. Yep. All things work together for good for those who loved and are called according to his good purpose. So what's complex about that is where you think, should I be praying for healing? Should I be praying for peace for the family? Should I just be sitting there just saying, God, your will be done?
Mm. And I'd say yes.
Right.
You know, all those things.
Mm.
I don't think it's wrong to pray for healing, but accept it if it doesn't come.
You know,
and that's where, wow, we're in dangerous, dangerous territory here.
Sure.
Because some people will deny all disease. It's not even real.
Mm.
You know, you just need to pray and you're fine.
That sort of taps into that power of positive thinking and positive affirmations
and I get denying the heart,
reality.
I get the heart of it, and they'll even pull out a verse or two to back that up. But the reality is, even Paul said, you know, I prayed three times that God would take away the thorn in the flesh. Jesus prayed.
Yeah. If this cup be,
let there be a plan B.
Yeah.
Or C or D or way down the line.
Right.
But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And we know the end of that story. Well, the end of the story is resurrection, but he went through a lot of pain to get there.
But again, that is the promise of faith, that there is resurrection in the last days for each and every one of us that are known and called and are known by him. So, but we don't live in that sort of fantastical space. We live in a reality that says our prayers should be offered, our prayers and petitions should be offered. That's part of shaping you into the shape that God wants you. Mm-hmm. But it's also dealing with the sweetness alongside the bitterness. And the complexity of that is it starts with our Father right in heaven. So he's, you know, and again, that kind of, you know, are you speaking to a God who is distant or are you speaking to a God who is close?
Yes.
Because, right? And so it's there's a beautiful complexity to it, but your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. What we're saying is we want heaven on earth.
We
want that. We want that. But we know we can't have that. So we live in the here and now and we pray anyway. Yep.
And I think it's important. We love the our Father part, and I think you can gloss past the in heaven. But it's important that he is our Father in heaven, because a couple things. One, some people's experience of a father on earth is great.
Oh, yeah.
And so when you start talking about our Father, and that's where their mind goes right away. They're like, okay.
No, get lost.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we realize he's in heaven. Okay, that's greater than, or even if you had a good experience with the Father here on earth, he's still far superior than that.
Yeah,
and the fact he's in heaven, he is capable of what we're about to ask, all the things we're about to say. He is worthy of the praise we're about to give, and he is capable of answering the things we're about to request.
Yeah.
If it was just our Father, but not in heaven.
Right.
Yeah.
Then everything else is governed by the things of earth. But the beauty of this prayer is, as you say, it can shape everything that we understand about God and every petition that we make to him. You were talking about Ephesians 3 earlier before we were recording. And one of the things I love about the writing here is verse 11 of chapter 3. It says, according to God's eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the accomplishment of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross is what allows us to pray this in the first place. Mm. So the idea that Jesus, when his disciples said, Lord, how should we pray? He said, pray like this. And by the way, I'm the one that's going to give you the power to do that in the first place. Mm. So you're still acknowledging that, you know, Jesus, who himself prayed the prayer, if this cup can be taken from me, take it from me, but not my will, but your will be done, which is the prayer before he gets taken to the cross. He prayed that and still went through with God's will. That trust thing is everything, isn't it?
It is. And that's honestly, that has become kind of a theme around here over the last couple of months, and I'd say probably for this year, is that trust thing. It just keeps popping up again and again and again, and I really believe that that's what God's wanting to get our attention with. You know, you were just talking about the Ephesians 3, and it talks about it's through Christ and his power and everything. And then he goes through a prayer in verses 14 down through about 19. But then it says, now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we ask or think.
Yeah, wow.
When I think about asking, you know, that's prayer.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah.
And whatever it is we're going to pray, he can do more.
Mm.
Infinitely more than we can ask or think. So I just want to encourage people to not be afraid of their prayers. You know, like I said, I don't ask him to bless Essendon because I don't want to put him on the spot. but we need to be bold in our prayers and think as big as you can, because however big you can think or ask, he can do more.
He's still bigger than that. We actually have, just by the way, this has been a really short discussion about the Lord's Prayer, how it shapes us and how it can shape you and your prayer life. Here at WBC, we do have a couple of resources. And do you know what they are, Stan? Do you know what they are?
Tell
the people.
Well, we got the Daily Quiet Time Tool, which guides us through different passages of Scripture that are prayers.
Mm-hmm.
That's this month, the theme was prayer.
Yep.
So you can read the Bible every day and learn more about prayer. And we also have a daily prayer calendar, a prayer list that actually producer Simon created for us.
Thank you, producer Simon.
So that every day we could know what to pray for, be praying together for our church, different elements, and also for our community. And when I say our community is worldwide. But So there's a couple of resources, and then we were meeting every night on Zoom, 7:30 Australian Eastern Standard Time. You can find the links in our socials on our website.
And even if you're listening to this episode later on and you're thinking, I still want to go to one of those Zoom prayer meetings, I'm pretty sure we have one every week on a Wednesday, usually most every week or every other week. But you can hit up worriedbaptistchurch.org.au, or you can hit us up on the socials, and you can find producer Simon's ghost voice. Hello, producer Simon.
Yeah. Like that? Like a ghost?
We got to fix your camera. You as a ghost does not work. But ladies and gentlemen, we pray that this has been a useful conversation for you and inspiring for you. And from all of us here at The Elaborators, including ghost producer Simon,
woo.
It's gone from woo to just woo.
We'll get this camera fixed. Priority one.
Yeah. We'll be praying for the camera and for you. But so God bless you.
You're wooing. Shouldn't a ghost be booing?
Ooh.
I can.
Boo.
Boo.
Oh. Yeah. No, okay. I think that's another episode.
That's the worst one I'm cheering against Essendon.
Ghosts. Do they woo or boo? That's coming up next in The Elaborators. It may not. Anyway, obligatory wave. Go Simon Head. Quick, we need to see Simon Head. See y'all next time with The Elaborators. Cheers.